Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Paul Segretta with my co-host Joel Labava on the Franchise Essential Show, Franchising and Social Media at its Best. Today, our guest will be Greg George of Office VP. Well, Joel is now officially our permanent co-host. Joel, welcome again.
Hello. I'm ready, man. I am ready to be just pumped and energized, and I'm really excited today, especially to put all the stuff that we talk about that will save potential franchisees money and franchisors that will help them get their story out. I'm really excited to put it out on Twitter right now.
Yeah, well, Twitter right now is down, and it went down with no cute whale to soften the blow. You know, a hacker attack shut down Twitter this morning, and Facebook also said it was looking into possible site problems. Twitter indicated in its status blog that it was defending against a denial of service attack, which is where hackers command scores of computers to a single site at the same time. Sounds like search engine optimization at its finest. And you know what, Joe? I actually got some work done today because Facebook and Twitter were down.
Well, first let me share with you the real reason. You know, everyone wants to blame high-tech geeks that are, you know, hacking into the system. It's the full moon. Today's the full moon. It's all it is. By the time it's a gibbous moon, part-time moon, part-size moon, it'll be over. Yeah, and I was actually able to do a little work, too. I mean, spent a little time at Facebook, but not as much as I used to.
Now, I found it a little bit slow, so I just kind of gave up on it this morning. Mashable said, Facebook is slow, Twitter is down, it's a social media meltdown.
Oh, man. Well, I did what a lot of people probably did, and I went to go eat.
I'm always eating, Joel. I'm Italian.
Right. You expect? Yeah. Well, I live with one, so I know, too.
Well, you know, I want to take a moment to thank President Bill Clinton for his efforts in freeing our two journalists. I mean, it was just a great job indeed. Yeah. And you know what, Joel? Did you know that President Clinton and I have something in common?
Oh, no. Gray hair?
No. Neither President Clinton or I are IFA members. But you know what? He was still allowed to speak at the IFA convention, where I'm told I'm not allowed because I'm not a member.
Really?
I guess I'll have to save somebody from a foreign country or something.
Wow.
Anyway, all kidding aside, I mean, it was a great effort, and I was very pleased.
Yeah, it was cool.
Journalists are brought back to the United States safe and sound. They actually look pretty good. And hopefully that issue is behind us. Now we have to worry about the three American hikers that are captured by Iran for going across the border. But again, as you said last week, Joel, let's not talk politics.
Yeah, let's try not to as much as
I'm going
to
get away from politics. Some of you may have already heard, but Armin Dietrich has some great news. That's that boutique PR communications firm up in the Chicago area, which, as we know, and some people on another radio show don't know that Chicago is in Illinois. Anyway, Armin Dietrich's own Diane Blazek has been promoted to president, and Ginny Dietrich now will solely handle the role of chief executive officer. In Diane's new role, she's charged with business development, organizational development, people development, and guess what? CEO development. So let's wish her some congratulations. She has a tough job ahead. Speaking of Armin Dietrich, yesterday in their blog, which is FADS, F-A-D-S, which is the Fight Against Destructive Spin, Ginny wrote, "Is it true behind every successful woman is a man?" And I thought this is something, Joel, that you and I needed to talk about, because one of the comments came from a man that said, "Hey, this is not an issue for me since I believe women do not belong in the workplace, but at home tending to the children and the husband. Much of what is wrong with our society today is because of women's liberation, a product of liberal socialistic thinking, and the idea that women can have it all, family and career. I mean, I've got my own thoughts about that. I think, you know, women are far better delegators. They are far better. They're far more insightful. They're more perspective. I think there's definitely a place for them in the workplace, and I think we can learn a lot from women. And I know, Joel, especially through a lot of your blogging and writing gigs, you work hand-in-hand with a lot of women, and I know that's worked out very well for you, and I know you probably look up to some of them as well.
I absolutely do. I wish I had more franchise candidates that were women, because whenever I have, it's just been such a wonderful experience. The women really, really do things a little differently when it comes to research. For one thing, they listen, and they really are okay with following the process. They don't get in their own way, as some of the men do sometimes. But who was that dude, a caveman?
I'll tell you. He stuck his neck out there, that's for sure. It says, they do not belong in the workplace, but at home tending to children and the husband. I thought that was pretty interesting. And as you could imagine, Jenny got a little fired up and threw it out there in a blog and has gotten numerous responses to it and comments from both genders. So anybody wants to take a look at it, go to spinsucks.com, spinsucks.com. And, Joel, you know what? I am going to get your blog site correct today. Joel's blog site is www.thefranchisekingblog.com. You see, Joel, I didn't.
Hey, congratulations. Thanks for allowing your lips to work perfectly that time.
That's for some reason, it must have been a couple of shots of tequila that I took this morning. Anyway, on another note, I understand you are expanding your practice beyond the confines of the greater Cleveland area and throughout the United States. What's that all about?
I've been encouraged by a lot of people the last year and a half, and I've been pretty hard-headed.
Too hard-headed?
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. I really, really intuitively and in my heart feel that working locally and working with local resources is usually the way to go. I've been getting calls from, people in other countries. I've been getting calls from around the country, our own country, asking me to help people. So a combination of that, my recent success helping someone in the Portland, Oregon area get into a franchise, and a lot of people that are pretty influential in small business really, really said, Joel, just do it, because the new local is right on your monitor. And
yeah.
So I've decided to do that, and I'm definitely pleased with the decision. And, why not? Why can't I help people in other parts of the country? And if I'm not comfortable and if I think there's a better resource, I'll just tell them about that resource. I'm okay with that. But thanks for telling me. And more information is on my corporate site, which is www.franchiseselectionspecialists.com.
Well, there you go. Well, Joel, best of luck in that venture. A couple of more announcements. As some of you are already aware, through social media and as we've announced on the show the last couple of weeks, the upcoming Frantelligence webinar series presented by Franchise Business Review, Armin Dietrich, and Franchise Essentials. There's two tracks. There's a marketing track and a development track. You can go to the Franchise Essentials website at http://fmdpro.com. fmdpro.com is the same as franchisemarketingdevelopmentpro.com. Also check for posts on Facebook and whenever the whale wakes up on Twitter once again. Also, I highly encourage franchise professionals to check out the relatively new Franchise Social Network, franchise executives at www.franchiseexecutives.com. I'm pleased to announce also that Franchise Executive Social Network is now affiliated with the Franchise Executives Group on LinkedIn. Also, we've mentioned a couple of times, and it's a damn good cause, so I'm going to mention it again, Joel. Maid Brigade, $1.5 million veterans franchise giveaway. The information's on Joel's site and on my Franchise Essential site. And we all know what the Franchise Essential site is. Joel, what is the URL for the Maid Brigade veterans franchise giveaway?
It is www.maidbrigadegiveaway.com.
Great. How's Major Toombs doing these days?
Oh, he's great. He and his wife are just rocking in Northeast Ohio. They've really built a heck of a business in their residential cleaning business. Yeah, they're doing wonderful. They have a great attitude, great philosophy, and it would be tough for a customer to not like these folks. They're great people. They get it. They really get it.
Well, that's great. Well, speaking about veterans and franchising, I noticed on one of your franchise blogs a topic, franchise locations for vets, and that's on your veterans blog site. What is that all about?
A friend of mine, Reva Lasowski, who used to be the senior editor over at Entrepreneur Magazine, blogs over at allbusiness.com. They have a franchise, a big franchise section there. And what she was suggesting was that it's a real good time if you're thinking about getting into a franchise that requires a location to get down and dirty and negotiate a good lease agreement. And I think she's right. Word on the street is that the commercial real estate market is the next one to really, really start feeling some pain. To make that easy to understand, if you own a strip center, let's say Paul Segretto and his very wealthy family own a strip center down in Houston, Texas, and 50% of their space is not leased, that means that Paul's family is going to have a real tough time paying the mortgage, which is always still due. So they may be open to negotiating the price per square foot, et cetera. So I think she's right on the money there. There's a lot of real good office space and retail space available. So now is the time to jump in that if you can.
Great. What's the URL for your veterans blog site?
www.thefranchiseblog, and then the number four, vets. Thefranchiseblogforvets.com, and it's focused on the veteran, military veterans that are coming back from overseas and the ones that have retired and are looking to do something besides a traditional job.
Great. And I know a lot of people are wondering, you know, how many different blogs and domains you have. And I know there are quite a few. And you encouraged me last week to get off my ass. And I established the domain getoffyourassmarketing.com. And I am now on Twitter at G-O-Y-A Marketing M-K-T-G. And we will have our blog site up and running here sometime in the month of August. It is a lot of the things that we've been talking about over the years. Franchisees and franchisors, small businessmen alike, get off your ass and make it happen. Hey, Joel, I also noticed in the blogging world, Organic Pizza franchise has now been certified as a LEED restaurant, L-E-E-D. So what's going on in I know you have a lot of green franchises on another one of your sites, Directory.com. Anyway, what do you know about this this movement that Pizza Fusion is going through?
Pizza Fusion is actually one of the coolest concepts that I've seen in a long time, and I started writing about them about a year and a half ago. Real quick, and I'm giving them a free plug because they deserve it. These guys are so smart that they made sure that their delivery vehicles were Toyota Priuses. I mean, that is, to me, I don't know why, I just think that is brilliant. That is really how to do that whole sustainable, give back, keep things green movement. But anyway, the restaurants that they do their build outs on, they go for that LEED certification. And a LEED certification is you must do a lot of specific things, from using the right light bulbs to using the right construction materials, et cetera, to make your business officially green. So their Mesa, Arizona franchise, which recently opened, was just LEED certified. So that's big. It's not easy to do. Not easy to do at all.
That's awesome. And I understand with a lot of their organic ingredients, they're a nice, healthy alternative. Speaking of healthy alternatives, I understand the ice cream chain, Ben & Jerry's, is looking to expand quite a bit in the down under market of Australia.
Yes, they are. That's a, from what I understand, if you Google or use Bing for a search, you know, look for Australian franchises. There are a lot of franchise websites and directories. There's a lot of franchising going on in Australia. So I think it was really only a matter of time before Ben & Jerry's, the organic dudes, made some kind of presence there. They're going to be opening in Sydney and Melbourne and starting to brand themselves, and it's going to allow the company to branch out. I don't know if they're going to go as far as the Outback, not the restaurant, but the Outback. That actually might go over pretty well. I can see little ice cream refueling stations or something out there in the down under. But, no, I think it's good. These guys know how to do it. They've done it before. They have over 400 franchises right now. So they rock and roll. They know what they're doing. They have franchises in Hong Kong, Israel, China, India, and Great Britain.
In Great Britain. Well, you know, I'm honored that they named one of their ice creams after me, which is Chubby Hubby. So,
And
I think you and I should give them a run for their money and do, you know, like Paul and Joel's ice cream. I can see our ugly mugs on the side of an ice cream container. So,
excuse me, man. I'm open. I'm always open.
Hey, you know, I was doing some research, and listen to this. Does 200 million page views a month catch your attention?
200, yeah, that's only a couple million less than I normally get on the blog.
And how about knowing that 41% of the members between the ages of 34 and 55 and all groups are divided nearly evenly between male and female? Isn't that enough to get your attention, okay? To get to consider, you know, that people are looking for content by areas of interest, that all content is video, and each video can be described using text that is rich with targeted keywords for a specific product or service. Yes, the information I'm talking about is YouTube. Right now, it's the sixth highest volume site on the Internet, and that just tells you that there are a huge number of businesses, whether they have websites or not, whether they use blogs or not, whether they test online promotions, execute effective email campaigns, all that happy horseshit, okay? When it comes down to video and audio are the new tools that are going to go ahead and infiltrate social media and marketing and really allow people to embrace, you know, listening, seeing messages at the same time. And, you know, without further ado, I'd like to introduce Greg George of Office VP. Office VP is an upcoming company that has a audio-video platform that is quite phenomenal. And, Greg, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Joel. It's good to be communicating with you guys.
Hey, Greg.
Greg, you know, as I said, you know, I feel audio and video are the newest wave of technology tools. I know they've been around for a while, but it seems like more and more people are integrating them into, you know, Facebook, integrating the links into Twitter, clicking back and forth to YouTube. And Joel, you use a platform, a tool out there to design some of your own videos. What's that site again? Momoto or something?
Oh, yeah, Animoto.
Animoto, that's it.
Wrong.
I always get that wrong. Yeah, you've done a few little videos on there that have definitely piqued some attention. But anyway, you know, that's where a lot of things are going. And Greg, explain to us a little bit about the benefits of audio and video in relaying a message to potential consumers, customers, and clients.
Sure, Paul. You know, the video technology, again, 3 to 4 years ago, you couldn't send a video over the internet. The broadband was not there. And today you can. And what I wanted to start out sharing with you is that, you know, more and more people want their information fast. They're going to the internet for it. And here are the facts. Last month, there was 111 billion unique viewers that watched 7 trillion streaming videos over the internet last month. That tells me that people more and more are going to the internet to watch videos. And in the franchise industry, the old ways of communicating, they've gone stale. The franchise industry has used regular email and telephone to communicate with prospects or existing customers. And that is all starting to change a little bit because, again, it's tired. And with video and audio, it speeds up. Let's say you're a franchise company trying to grow your franchise in a tough economy, as we all know has hit the franchise industry. Well, with video and audio communications, it will allow a franchise company to maybe speed up the sales cycle. It will allow a franchisor to increase their conversion rates because there's not as many people looking at franchise opportunities today as there were 2 years ago or 4 years ago. And so when you have a prospect, you want to be able to get them excited about your concept. Well, what's going to get them excited? Sending them a dull email that's got your signature on it? Or how about either a professionally produced video or a personal video, maybe, say, from the director of franchising that introduces himself via video? And what this does is it allows the franchisor and the prospective franchisee the ability to create an emotional bond. And that is one of the main advantages that I see with video technology, is the emotional bond that the two parties can create, because one of the parties, you can see their facial expressions. You can see that they have a passion. If they truly have a passion about their franchise, you'll be able to see it in video. So I think the fact that video can speed up the sales cycles for these franchisors who are having tough times, it will allow the franchisor to better get out their message. I mean, here are some other facts, Paul. People remember 10% of what they read, say like in an email. They remember 20% of what maybe they hear on the telephone. They remember 30% of what they might see in a graphic format. But they're going to remember close to 70% if they see it and hear it at the same time. Those are powerful statistics, and I hope that the people in the franchise industry take notice of it.
Yeah, those definitely are some powerful statistics. And I know there's a lot of different ways of using video. I know we think a lot of it from a marketing standpoint. I know Joel has thrown it out there to pass on some messages. I love the one from Joel's daughter, the princess of the kingdom, talking about the new crown. How's that crown working out for you, Joel?
It's good. I'm glad I picked the softer one that the guy in Cleveland chose, and he got $100 for it. There were two on there, and it looked pretty painful, man. Those looked like about 10-pounders, and they had some sharp things. So I went with a softer one. But thank you for asking.
Yeah, well, here's something that I read, and it was really intriguing. Last year, Deloitte, one of the largest professional service firms in the world, launched a campaign for an employee film festival. Employees were asked to create short films that expressed the corporation's culture and values. And it sounds like a box office sleeper, but more than 400 film entries were submitted, and the film festival voting website had over 400,000 hits during the voting period. And then the finalists were posted on YouTube, And it was just amazing the company buzz that came out of it. So it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, it seems like, you know, video can be used for a lot of different reasons, even beyond just in a vidmail capacity.
Absolutely. And, Paul, one thing that you and I have discussed is that, you know, as franchisees, people that have invested into a franchise, as they continue to try to figure out how to market their franchise in locally, I see now the franchisees utilizing video technology. An example, let's say if I owned a barbecue franchise and I, up till now I've been sending out weekly emails with a coupon, electronic coupon. Think about if I owned a barbecue franchise and I did a personal video. Hey, this is Greg over at XYZ Barbecue Company. I hope you and your family will come over to our restaurant this Thursday and take advantage of our 50% off of ribs or something along those lines. I know on a local basis, and I hope both of you guys will agree, that these franchisees, it's hard enough for them to market in the old way, but now they all have a Facebook account. They are starting to do social networking. And being able to use videos with your social network is going to make the message more powerful.
And it sounds all this is really pushing them to, again, I'm going to plug this, Joel, get off your ass, because it's going to take franchisee involvement. You know, that being said, you know, a lot of people, including myself, kind of hesitate with this new type of technology and webcams and downloading the software and getting familiar with it. You know, how difficult is it to use the Office VP program?
Well, that's the great part about it, Paul. It's just like going in and logging into your computer, man. The only difference is there's a inexpensive camera if you don't already have one in your laptop or your PC. It's the best camera on the market, $79. And as you know, I do 30 to 40 videos a day sometimes, and that's the way I communicate. Matter of fact, I have not sent out a regular email in 19 months.
Wow.
I use video and audio technology only, and that's the way I communicate, and that's the way a lot of our customers. The Office VP product is very easy to do. You basically, you know, once you have an account set up, you simply use this platform, you click a play button, you record your video, you're able to play it back to make sure it's what you're looking for, and then you simply embed it into a professional template, and when it's sent to the person on the other end, they see it in your branded, if it's a franchise company, your branded template, and it's top-notch. I'll just share another little bit of information with you. I know of a men's barbershop franchise that just recently, this past week, they had about 800 leads or people that were interested in their concept that had contacted them over the past year, but that they never really did anything with. They sent out one video, these 815 people that never, ever got excited about the concept. They sent out one video. 88% of the people got those videos opened and watched it. And I just got an email just a few minutes ago that one person sent an email saying, hey, I'm reinterested again. I thought that was a phenomenal click-through rate of 88% of some dead prospects that a video got that prospect re-excited about the concept.
That is remarkable. I know from my own perspective, I know you and I share, social media comments back and forth and stuff. And, you know, and I know my wife receives a lot of, you know, recipes over the air, and she prints them out and puts them in a folder and stuff. But I'll tell you, the thing that made the biggest impact to me on video is when you produced that little impromptu video about making sushi. And I think that's on one of your sites. I think it's on your Facebook site. And I'll tell you one thing. If I had read about it on paper, I never would have ventured into it. But following that video, I found that it was quite easy and state of the art, as just like watching the Food Network. I think that was just remarkable.
Well, I'll just make another comment on that. When I put how to make sushi at home video up on Facebook, within 1 hour, I had over 400 people view that video.
Wow. You know, and the thing, too, that I love about food videos and I love about the Food Network, I mean, to me, that's nothing but porn to fat people, and I just love watching that stuff. Anyway, what else can you tell us about Office VP? I understand there's some tracking tools behind the scenes where you could actually track how videos are watched, when they're watched, how long they're watched. How does all that work? Is it very complicated?
Well, it is not complicated. You know, the Office VP product is not for the weak. It is a sophisticated communications tool. And not only can you create and send personal videos with it, again, you can create and send personal audio messages. That's for maybe somebody that's not comfortable in front of a camera. You can send really cool letter-themed emails. And to answer your question about the tracking, it's got incredibly robust tracking. You can know exactly what happens to every single email you send out, whether it bounced, whether the party on the other end unsubscribed. You're able to know when your contacts have opened your email. You are notified when they have viewed your video and how long they viewed your video and how many times. And you're also notified if they've listened to your audio messages. You know, a lot of companies, franchise companies also, they have a constant contact account set up to do mass emails. They have an iContact account. They have a GoToMeeting account. You know, they're paying three or four vendors. That's the great thing about the Office VP product. Everything is in one. Your contact management system's there. Your video production's there. Your audio production's there. You can be notified. Heck, when somebody views a video or listens to an audio or reads an email I sent them, I get a text message on my iPhone. I know what's going on with my business. And the tracking, again, is highly robust. There's too many things to talk about in this radio show about the Office VP, Paul, but the tracking, again, is superior to the other platforms that are out there. And this is truly the only video, audio, email system where everything's in one place.
Wow. Does it also have capabilities that are similar to, like, go-to meetings?
That's a great question. Within a few short weeks, Paul, we'll be adding an online meeting module. So instead of you paying $50 a month for constant contact, $50 a month for a GoToMeeting or Glance type online meeting module, guess what? It'll all be right there in the Office VP product.
Wow. How can our listeners learn a little bit more about Office VP?
Well, for those that are serious about improving their communication skills and want to take a look at it, Office VP has set up a free trial, and where we will allow people to try the product for 30 days, no charge. The product's $49.95 a month, Paul, and again, that's what you might pay for a constant contact or a GoToMeeting type module, but we want people to try it. It doesn't cost them anything. They can go to OfficeVPFreeTrial.com. And if they sign up for the free trial, we'll work with them to get their template set up and show them how easy it is to create and send video messages and audio messages and have an incredible system to communicate with.
You know, I just received an email from one of our listeners who asked a question. I'm with Constant Contact and am limited on, he resent it. I'm on Constant Contact. I'm on their free trial. I'm limited to 99 users. Does Office VP's trial program limit me in the number of contacts that I can send videos out to?
No, I mean, if somebody's got a list of 25,000 people, they're going to have to call us, and we're going to have to discuss that. But it will have no limitations on it.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope that answered the question for our listener. Joel, do you have any questions for Greg?
Yeah, Greg, if someone called you with 22,500 people on their mailing list, do you think you'd make time to talk to them?
Absolutely. I actually, funny you mentioned that. Yesterday, we worked with a consulting group, and they had 17,000 contacts, and they told us that they were spending $200 a month for two separate competitors' platforms, and you know we're signing them up this afternoon with, and all they were able to do with the other system was send out emails. They didn't have any of the other features.
Wow.
So absolutely.
Good. Wow. Well, I think we can expect businesses and franchises to use video, integrate it with social media. I see that all continuing. I think from the organizations that I've spoken with that are using video, they're getting positive results from the initial use of video. And then, of course, secondly, social media is incorporating more onto their websites, indicating a growing comfort that the population is having with these technologies. And I think it's just all moving at a fast pace. What do our listeners need to do to find out more information? What's the web address?
I just ask them to go to www.officevpfreetrial.com.
Okay. And also, I have that link to my blog site at fmdpro.com, and it's listed three or four times down the right side of the page. Greg, I really appreciate the time you spent to tell us about it, and I look forward to great things with audio and video. And please feel free to contact us in the future and have you come back on the show and let us know how things are working out. And when you have the go-to meeting module, that type of meeting set up, an online meeting module set up, you know, let us know and we'll bring you back on the show and explain that, because it really seems to be exciting. Now, I want to emphasize again, it's a free trial. If people go to that website, officevpfreetrial.com, it's a free, no obligation trial, correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. Great. I appreciate your time, Greg, and we'll be talking with you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys, and nice speaking to you too, Joel.
Hey, man, you too. You take care. Break a leg, man.
All right, talk to you guys soon.
Take care.
Got it.
Well, Joel, we're to the bottom of the hour, a little bit past the bottom of the hour, and I saw something on franchising out there in the blog world, and I know you did, because you said we should talk about it, and I agree. And it has to do a little bit with the E factor. And why don't you take it away and give me a little bit of insight?
You talking about the six stages?
You got it.
All right, man. A gentleman by the name of Greg Nathan, who is an international expert on the psychology of franchising. Well, if you know anything about psychology, he's probably talked to me anyway.
Wait a minute. Let me get this right. You mentioned franchising and psychology at the same time.
Yeah. Then throw us in.
All right.
Yeah. He wrote about the six stages of franchise relationships. Ooh, this sounds kind of heavy. And there are, according to him, six distinct stages. The one that I know about, obviously, would be the honeymoon stage. And that's when everything is just ducky. I'm happy with the relationship. I love my franchisor, and I love the fact that I am now a small business owner. So that is, he called that the glee stage. I call that the honeymoon stage. But he has the psychology degree, and I don't, so we're going to call it the glee stage. anyway.
He doesn't have a crown, though.
No, he doesn't have a crown, but I'm sure after this, he'll probably crown me, but... he's right, because initially franchisees are filled with glee. You know, Paul, why don't you tell us, when you first signed a franchise agreement, how you felt about being a franchisee?
You know, the funny thing about that, or the ironic thing, was, you know, as we mentioned last week, I became a franchisee after being a senior executive with the company. So, you know, I kind of knew a lot about, I did know a lot about franchising. But, yeah, you know, it was still that same feeling of you know, your ego kind of gets in the way a little bit. And you know, people saying, wow, you're investing in a business, you're taking the plunge. Your family, your friends are looking at you a little bit differently, like, you know, you're really on top of the world. And you really do head down that aisle, just like, you know, going down the aisle towards, you know, getting married, and you're happy, the new expectations, and you're king of the world. And it's a great feeling to have. And it's something that, you know, I try to get franchisees to remember time after time after time so that their business progresses along.
Right, right. Well, you know, let me ask you this. When the glee stage, the honeymoon stage, was over, and I don't know how long it lasted, but when it was over, what happened? Did anything change for you?
Well, yeah, it definitely changes. You wipe off all the newness of it, and you get down to operating the business. And there's a lot of different things that go on in the business, and you're wearing a bunch of different hats. And like in my case, coming out of the corporate side of it, you know, I always had secretaries. If I needed something, they did it. I mean, you know, even something as simple as, you know, going to the coffee pot, and I did go get my own coffee, and I poured my own coffee, but I didn't make it. And I knew, and I took for granted that I went there. It was already made. Well, you know, as a franchisee, and I had, you know, a customer waiting room, I had to worry that the coffee was even there. So I had to go to Sam's and buy the coffee and then make it, clean up after it, make sure the coffee pot is shut. You know how many times I got in the car, Joel, half an hour away from my business and said, damn, I left that coffee pot on, and have to turn around and go back and shut it off? It's those little things, the different hats that you have to wear. And now you're out of that honeymoon stage, and you're into the next phase, and you're operating your business. And you know what? At times, it can seem lonely.
Yeah. It's interesting because my late father always told me that the next stage is the one where a lot of franchisees either make it or break it. And I don't know if you experienced it, but this gentleman calls it the fee stage. And my dad warned me about this. He said, Joel, you know, after a year or two in business, and when some franchisees, when they start doing well and actually are making money, they get a little cocky, and they say to themselves, why should I pay $25,000 a year in royalty to these guys? I don't need them anymore. As a matter of fact, why am I even paying them? Now, I mean, well, here's what I tell people when I do my seminars everywhere. I tell people, you know what? I'm going to be blunt with you. It wasn't your idea, so you have to pay. So
yep.
If you want to be the true entrepreneur and start the concept yourself from beginning to end and do it right, which means spending a couple $100,000, you get to collect the royalties. But if it ain't your idea, then you gotta pay.
That's it.
Did you experience that, where you started to get a little resentful against the franchisor that you were paying royalties?
Well, you know, I don't know how much resentment there was, but I refer to that second phase as the doubt phase.
Okay.
It, you know, was it worth doing it with a brand name, or should I have done it on my own and spun it as an independent? I think in the end, I was happy, or at least now, I was happy that it was with a franchise, because it did have a proven system, it did have a good brand name, and if I didn't have some circumstances that took place, you know, I could have reaped a little bit more of the benefits. I think the easy thing that happens is getting into complacency and taking for granted how powerful a brand name is. And you're right. When you have that brand name and it's not your name up there and you haven't developed it, yes, you need to be paying the royalty payment for it. Absolutely.
That's right. That's right. Well, the next stage is called the me stage. his quote is, "Yes, I'm successful, but my success is the result of my hard work. I could probably be just as successful without my franchisor." And it's definitely related to the fee stage. Greg talks about the human ego, and it's always been a master of playing with our minds and giving us reasons why we are right and others are wrong. And he's right about that. I mean, you know, our mind, as you and I both can attest to, plays tricks on us. And, you know, it's easy really to get sucked into the, well, this franchise of mine is successful because of me. Well, it is successful because of you, but it didn't start with you. So, you know.
The ironic thing about that, and I know he doesn't talk about this in his article, and probably we could discuss it at length on another day, but that me stage, when the going gets tough, becomes the them stage. Meaning it's not their problem, it's some other people's problem, or it's the franchisor's problem. When the problems arise, it's never the me stage.
Of course. And that's just human behavior, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely.
Not every adult can stand up there and say, you know what, I'm wrong. Or the business is failing because I was lazy for a couple of weeks or because I got complacent. So, and that's part of being a franchisee. You know, you have to step up and take responsibility for the good and the bad.
Yep, definitely. Definitely, and hold yourself accountable. So what's the next phase?
The C stage. This is kind of interesting. I don't know if I agree with this, but Greg says, quote, "I guess I can see the importance of following the franchise system, and I do acknowledge the value of my franchise support services. Once again, the word see, it must be a visual. I can see that if we did all, if we all did our own thing, standards would drop and we would lose the very things that give us our competitive edge." So it sounds to me like, you know, these are when franchisees kind of have to talk themselves into, well, it's okay that I'm paying $25,000 in royalties because I am getting da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, you know, one thing he brings up is the franchisor needing to be more open involving the franchisee in future planning, so they can appreciate a little bit more, be involved, and be excited. And I know, you know, that was one of the things that I really relish about social media and franchising together, is because social media affords the opportunity for franchisees to see what's going on in the franchise development plans of the companies, as well as participate and give testimonials and validate. You know, the old way of doing business, we ask franchisees to validate a concept when they never had anything to do with franchise development after the day they paid their franchise fee. So I really see, again, to use his word, how that plays in. And then it leads to the last stage, which is the we stage.
Right. And we, according to Greg, we need to work together to make the most of our business relationship. You do need to work together. When you were a franchisee and when you became, you know, a multi-unit owner and stuff, was there a difference?
Oh, God, there was a tremendous difference. It's one thing to operate one business when you're there within the four walls. It's another thing to be outside those four walls running across town. And at the time that I did it, didn't have the technology that's available today with internet and internet cameras and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, the mobile phones we had weighed about 2 pounds apiece.
Right.
It's so different. And I'll tell you, that's really where the sense of loneliness comes in, because I was very, very close with a lot of the employees in my first location. They truly were family to me. When I opened the second one, you know, I wasn't there for the day-to-day conversations. You know, sometimes I was only there for 15 or 20 minutes, and of course, before you know it, the perception is, oh, he's only there to collect the money.
Right.
And it's a totally different animal, and then, you know, you have to watch. You make a little bit of profit here, and you lose a lot at the other location, and now it hurts the location that is turning a profit, and there's a little bit of resentment there. They're saying, why do I need to cut back over here? We're clicking along. We're doing things right. You brought in this other one. You know, it's kind of like the first child syndrome, you know, and all of a sudden he resents the second child because he's no longer the favorite. He's no longer garnering all the attention. And so there was a lot of personality problems. Now, multiply that out by three, four, five locations and a layer of management besides. Wow, I'll tell you, totally different animal.
Did you just say personality problems?
Yeah, personality problems, without a doubt. You know, you're not there, and all of a sudden say, oh, you know, he took my tool. You know, he did this. He raided my locker. How come, you know, he's able to get off at 4 when I came in 20 minutes early? I mean, it's when you're not there every single minute of the day, they will take, it's human nature to take advantage of every situation possible to your own benefit. And I felt like I had gotten to the point where I was one tight-knit organization, and now I was dealing with 25 different personalities.
Well, I'm glad that you went off on that tangent, Paul, but what I was actually thinking of was I was having a little flashback because when I was in junior high school, several teachers told me that I had a personality problem.
Okay. Well, this show, I did check, Mark, that it was it can be listened to by all age groups, and so anyway, we won't discuss it any further. All right. Well, to find out more information about Greg Nathan's company and his article, go to www.franchiserelationships.com. Joel, you brought out a good point to me this morning about Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, Rupert.
That they were going to begin charging for.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Well, I had to laugh. Real quick, I don't want to get into politics, but I'm going to. I don't care. During the last part of, well, actually the middle of President Bush's presidency, my wife and I would argue a lot about Fox News. And I kind of, you know, I'm basically in the middle. I definitely, when it comes to terrorism and stuff like that, I definitely lean way to the right. And I was, we just had arguments about Fox News and whether they're really doing news or if they're really just kind of doing flash. And I kind of like Fox News for a while. And in the past, I would say 8 months, 9 months or so, I don't even watch it anymore. You know, it's for me anyway, for me, if I need to find out what's happening in the world, if there is some real breaking news and not Fox breaking news, but real breaking news, you know, I'm jumping to MSNBC or CNN, really. So for Rupert Murdoch to say in his quote, well, if we're going to put out quality content, people are going to pay for it. I'm thinking to myself, dude, half of your shows aren't even news shows anymore. You know,
right.
I mean, it's just kind of, but anyway, I don't know. I just don't know. I was asked to participate in a couple short paragraphs having to do with a new newspaper. It's actually a newspaper that was just purchased down in Waco, Texas. And they're going to have an online presence. And I was asked to participate and put my opinions in there. And you know what? If you can't sell enough advertising on your website, blog, you know, to do this right. I mean, they should pay for the monetization. I don't know. I think you get a lot of people resentful, Paul, if you start charging it for online content.
Absolutely. It goes against the grain where everything is going on the Internet.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right to me. I know that there's a couple local publications that are, you know, of course, online also. And it never fails. I want to read an article, and it has a sign-in box. You must be a member. You know what? I don't like that.
Yeah, he writes in his article, the digital revolution has opened up many new and inexpensive methods of distribution, but it has not made content free. I don't know. I
don't
think
know.
That's what I love about social media. There's so much free content out there. I think if he leans in that direction, I think he'll be changing in the near future. All right, well, let's turn as we head down the home stretch of the show to a little bit more about social media. I read an article, it's back from December, 10 social media tips from 30,000 feet. Talks about looking at it from the sky, and know why you're using a service. I know you, he refers to stumble upon, I know you use stumble upon, and a lot of that is recent. How has that helped you of late?
StumbleUpon, I've been actually trying to figure it out for about 3 years now, 2.5 years. I finally figured out that for it to work, you've got to have some people on your side. And if you do have people that like what you stumble, you know, like what you point out, which is mostly not your own content, that they'll start to add it to their favorites, and then they'll hit the website and they'll stumble it, and then their friends will. So it can be very viral. I've had situations where I picked up a fair amount of traffic in, you know, in a couple hours time, which is good. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's about giving and taking, but mostly giving in this social media sphere.
Absolutely. Yeah, the author of this article, Michael Martin, he says, you know, he uses it because it brings him traffic and it helps him drive traffic to his friend's sites. And then he uses Twitter to gain influence. So his second tip is know what your followers or friends want and give it to them. Like you said, you know, share it.
It's interesting. I've interacted with Michael a couple times. He's really a smart guy, but he's right.
Yeah, absolutely. And then his third one is one that I really embrace a lot, is cross-pollinate your friends from one social media to another. You know, I hear all too often, well, I have this site for this, and I have this site for that.
Right.
There are no walls in social media. There are no walls on the Internet. You know, cross-pollinate them from one to the other. And he also says use the same avatar for each service. I agree. You know, you want the same picture up there, the same
right.
brand logo or whatever. And as you said, you know, help others. And he says help others unconditionally. I think that really goes a long way.
You do that. Well, I mean, you really do that, Paul.
I do. I appreciate that, but I do. You do as well. You've helped me a great deal when we first started out networking together. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what makes it exciting. And he talks about, too, about automating but doing it carefully. I mean, you brought up a big word last week, transparency. And I think that's where you need to be careful on the automation, that you don't lose your transparency. And then something that we've done, and he brings it up as tip number 7, which is form an alliance with others. I mean, I think we've built one heck of a network between ourselves, and you've introduced me to some people, and I've introduced you,
right.
and we've helped each other. Why not? What do we have to lose, right?
Yeah, and it's only two of us. I mean, think about two people that know us times two people that know us. You know what? It's really not about 500,000 page views a month. It's about a couple thousand really good people reading your stuff now.
Right, it's like that old hair commercial, right? And so on and so on and so on.
Right, right.
Form an alliance with others. Another one is put in the time. How long do you put in a day?
I am on my PC anywhere from 10 to 13 hours a day at this point.
Yep. I am as well. Well, Joel, we are winding down. The other two tips, real quick, are take breaks so you don't wear yourself out, and, of course, use the right tools. I'm still playing around with TweetDeck. Everybody loves it. I seem to be doing okay with it. I find it a little cumbersome at times. But, you know, reach out there with new tools and make it exciting. Make every day different. Joel, as always, it is a pleasure co-hosting with you. I am glad you're on board for the long term with us. Congratulations and good luck on your expansion beyond the Ohio market. I'm sure you'll do well. I am excited about get off your ass marketing and integrating it with social media, and we'll be discussing more of that in the future. Next week, Joel will not be here. He will be on vacation. And Jenny Dietrich of Armin Dietrich will be my co-host. So I'd like to thank all our listeners. Happy networking, happy social media marketing, and have a safe and pleasant day.
Thank you.